Hi, welcome to the Speaking of Sex podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we offer our expert advice and our fabulous company, of course, so you can have a more amazing, fulfilling, fabulous sex life.
Woo!
How is that for a mission? We are grateful to be back. We took a little bit of a recording break. If you remember episode 200, or if you haven't listened to it yet, go listen to it to hear about where we've been this summer. I had a bit of a health crisis, and luckily we had some podcasts recorded in advance, so we were able to keep up with you. But meanwhile, we've been hibernating a little bit, and I've been healing up and feeling so much better every day, and Charlotte has been taking exquisite care of me and our two-year-old daughter. She is getting, like, the uber maternal healing mother of the year award. And I think on future episodes, I really want to talk more about this period of our relationship, because it was one where our relationship really shifted from co-creators and erotic partners and lovers to one of a lot of care and nourishing and affection. But it was just as erotic to me. And I want to explore this idea of how many different kinds of erotic energies one relationship can hold, and how it's almost necessary that we practice holding all these different kinds of love for one another and practicing these different kinds of love for when things like this happen. You know, the floor fell out from beneath us. I had a major health crisis, and our love was there to keep me alive, really, in so many ways, and to sustain us. But it looked so much different than other kinds of love we've experienced in our 10 years. So that is to come. I want to talk more about that today, on today's episode. So thank you, Charlotte.
Pleasure, my love.
I'm happy to be back recording new episodes with you. And today we want to share, we've been getting a lot of amazing emails from listeners. We've put out the call in the past for more participation from you all as we go forward from our 200th episodes into the future. And we have a new way of you sharing with us that I want to presence right now and invite you to participate with. If you go to pleasuremechanics.com/hello, like hello, pleasuremechanics.com/hello, there is a fabulous green button in the middle of that page where you can click the button and record a message to us. And it will get magically zapped over to us, and it's as easy as that. So you no longer have to call a number and record a voicemail. You just go to pleasuremechanics.com/hello, and you can record a question or a suggestion for future podcast topics, or you can share some of your stories, and we will weave these voices into future episodes. Today we're going to share an email. So this was before our nifty voicemail function, and we got an email from a listener in Switzerland in response to episode 197. On that episode, we talked about men's sexuality and some of the ways we feel that men's sexuality has been shut down and impaired by our cultural narratives about sex. And we got this beautiful response that we wanted to share with you, with his permission. So this comes to you from Switzerland, and it's a bit long, but just lose yourself in the beauty of Charlotte's voice as she tells this story from a male listener in Switzerland. Here we go.
One more thought concerning men's shame around their penis and groin that you didn't mention in your recent overview, and that I recently put under the microscope on myself while in a cabin up north for a few months. The clamping down of the first signs of arousal. The light but firm inner panic when the first feeling of pressure is sensed down there. I'm sure this is widespread, and in my case, I'm positive its origins are quite simple. I have always been terrified of having a hard-on in public. And boy, are there enough occasions for that to happen as a young'un, sitting in a car or bus, going to the pool, watching movies, etc. I'm not sure how best to deal with this. I have a hard time imagining our society should accept seeing boys or men with big bulges in their shorts and the tips of penises peeking out over the waistband of their trunks or trousers on occasion. I'm certainly not ready for that. So I find it hard to believe this will ever be prevented. So what I try to do in the cabin, where I could convince even my shame-shaken mind I really was absolutely secluded and alone, is to actively relax into it, letting it all hang out, giving myself arousing stimuli, mostly sounds, and actively feeling and noticing those areas of my body that clamp down, and actively relaxing them. Moving them playfully, relaxing them, telling myself a little mantra like, it's okay. I was trying to uncondition myself from this panic, tension, reaction, which is unnecessarily stressful and pleasure diminishing, and usually totally unnoticed. I was quite surprised to notice this, as it's so second nature, so well conditioned that I didn't even question it. Until I was really alone and went looking for impediments to freedom of expression and self-love. And when there's no one else to blame, no outside conditions to respect, it becomes very easy to pinpoint your own intrinsic complexes. Anyhow, I had to share this. There's more where this came from if you're interested. I came across a few more things that were very illuminating and important to me during my little hermitage up there. Much having to do with male sexuality and its self-imposed boundaries. And some cool little tricks to help get over it. Happy to share anytime. Jay.
Mm-hmm.
I love this finding, Jay. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Our erotic explorer in a cabin in Switzerland.
I love it.
Let's hear more. So there's a few reasons I really loved this email and wanted to share it. One, we've just finished the Summer Olympics, and I didn't watch a lot of it. We don't have a TV, but I dabbled online a bit, and I'm really always blown away by the mastery of these athletes. And there's all these different sports, and they all pick a different one and then specialize for the majority of their lives in most cases. They specialize and hone in on the particular embodiment of the human athlete that they want to become and they want to represent. And sometimes this is how they're born, like what muscular patterns are they born with, or sometimes it's the family they're born into. But it's really this calling for each athlete to devote their life to one particular sport. And I wish we had sexual Olympics. I wish we had a place to really showcase all of the different erotic skills and different kinds of erotic embodiment that are possible for us humans. And at its best, I think porn could do this for us, but it really doesn't. Let's be clear, you know, you don't see shining sexual stars in a lot of porn. It's, I should not digress into porn, but we don't have a lot of opportunities to witness other people's mastery and witness people's commitment to exploring sexual skills. And so I just want to give a big shout out here to Jay in Switzerland and congratulate him and honor him for being an erotic explorer, for committing some time and focus of attention to looking inside his body and what are his reactions and how can he move forward towards more sexual pleasure and self-love. And I think we all need to be doing more of this, and we all need to be committing to being erotic explorers if we want to achieve the
erotic mastery that I think we all have the potential of. Absolutely, right. And I think hearing people's sexual stories is the way that we can be inspired to know what we can aspire to.
Right. It'll be a long time before we have a sexual Olympics televised. So in the meantime, let's share stories on safe venues like this podcast so we can bear witness to one another.
Yeah, because it's every time we hear of somebody else pushing and expanding what's possible, it opens something up for ourselves. And whether or not you're going to go into the woods and do some solo exploration, you can still
camping trip, let's all do that.
You can still take a moment in your shower and notice when you feel this sort of internal tension, because I know what he's speaking of.
And so let's dive into this specifically. Of what he's talking about is the tension and anxiety that come up at the first signs of arousal for men. And he's rooting this in the kind of boner shaming that we do for young boys and teenagers, where it's not safe to get an erection in public. And it should be noted here that erections aren't always correlated with arousal, and so sometimes boys have erections for no reason or they've rubbed up against something. And I remember bullying boys back in school for this and pointing them out and laughing with the whole class.
Oh.
And it's interesting to notice, like, I was a sexual bully in that way. Like, I made it unsafe for that person to be in their body, and I laughed at people for getting erections because that's kind of what
culture
tells us to do, that it's inappropriate on their behalf. And this is a really, we often talk about male genitals as having an advantage because they're outside the body and they get to see them all the time and touch them all the time, and female genitals are all mysterious and tucked inside. But this is a place where it's actually a disadvantage to have such an external set of genitals where your arousal or just your erection may be noticed and shamed by other people. And what happens in the long term? And it'd be really interesting to hear from other men. Use that button at pleasuremechanics.com/hello to tell us, your experience of this. Like, were you shamed around having erections in public? And how has that impacted you? Does this resonate, this idea of when you first start getting aroused, your body kind of clamps down around it and tells you that it's unsafe? Let us know. But you were going to say you relate to this, which is interesting as a woman. Tell me more.
I think there are moments where I've experienced that some sort of turn on and then an internalized clamping down in the pelvis of like, no, that's not okay.
And in that case, why wasn't it okay? Because you're not going to get a big old girl boner that people will see.
I think it's more emotional reasons. Mm-hmm. I'm not even remembering specific moments. I just remember the feeling in my body.
So something internal says, no, not okay. Rein it in.
Right. Right. And
you feel like there's a physical, muscular tension.
Yeah, the clamping down of like, okay, we're not going there.
Which it makes sense. Like, the body has this wisdom. If you have to poop and you don't have a toilet nearby, your body will, like, clamp down and hold it in until it's safe to go. And I think it is not a stretch of the imagination to think about arousal being the same thing. Like, your body starts experiencing it. Your brain is like, yeah, this feels good. Let's go with it. And something in your social conditioning says, not the right time, not the right place. Bring it down, clamp it in. And your body does that. I think probably that's a good thing once in a while, but in our sex negative culture that shames men, especially for any public display of desire, what does that mean when you actually are safe to be aroused? Like, how many men get blocked in early stages of arousal out of this place of shame and clamping down and holding it in? I'm calling this arousal panic.
Yeah, I think that's a great term. And I think the first stage is all of us just noticing when it happens, if it does happen for you. Is it in public? Is it in private? And what do you do with it next? Because really noticing is the first step to undoing that pattern.
Right. I think, like so many sexual responses, this reminds me of so much I've learned as a survivor of sexual trauma, is that our body has these neurological responses. And what is so essential is that we learn how to become present and mindful in each moment and have a dialogue with our body and be able to say, no, actually, this is an okay moment to get aroused.
Mm-hmm.
You can drop that pattern. So it's not fighting that the pattern exists in your body or struggling with it in that way. It's noticing it and then learning how to work with it so you can drop it when it's no longer needed. And I think this is the thing for men is, when is their sexual desire safe? When is it okay to outwardly express their desire? Because I'm thinking about long-term relationships, and even within a long-term marriage, certain cultures of relationships make it unsafe for men to express their desire and initiate sex. Because the response becomes, ugh, not again, like, oh, we just had it, no, I'm not in the mood. It becomes this personal rejection, and rejection hurts. And it creates this downward spiral of, it's not safe to initiate because it's going to hurt when you get rejected. And so how do we re-envision a case where men can, and women, but where we can actively express our desire but not have an agenda behind it? Where we can be like, oh, you look really beautiful tonight, you're turning me on, but I don't need anything from you. I'm not, like, demanding anything, I'm just expressing that. And it's there in the space between us, and then we can decide what to do with it. Right? Maybe that just translates to a really sexy cuddle and you get a little bit turned on and you suck that sexual energy away for your Friday night date night where you actually have some space and time to do something with it. Or maybe you just take it in as a compliment for one another and it becomes a form of verbal affection. But how do we actively allow our desire to come forward and rise in our bodies while not being predatory, while not being demanding upon other people? I think this is one of these meta questions.
I mean, that's an enormous question. I know we have done different podcasts on how to ask for sex without being creepy, which kind of speaks to some of this, but mm-hmm. It's a bigger question that we can keep exploring. One of the really interesting things I think that Jay talks about here is this idea that he was alone, and so he was able to see that the clamping down was actually his own internal process, his own emotional judgment or feeling of shame. And I think that's valuable because I think often when we're in sex, when we're in sexual context with our lover, sometimes I think we experience that clamping down, but we do blame it on our partner, like, oh, something they did just turned me off, or I don't like the way that looks, or, you know, whatever kind of thoughts or emotions you have that then...
Are you saying it becomes easier to project that the turn off response to your partner rather than understand it as an internalized pattern.
Totally. Uh-huh. And I think he speaks to that. He says that. But I just wanted to highlight that point that is something that exists for many of us in relationship and to notice that. And it's hard to pull that apart and know that it's maybe just our own internalized thing.
Yet another reason masturbation is so important.
So important as a laboratory of your pleasure.
Another thing just to mention here is that forces like sexual shame have plagued all of us in one way or another, and we all struggle with it. And these experiences are often translated as personal deficits. It's really easy to be like, oh, I'm not a good lover because I experienced this, or I'm just not having a great sex life because this gets in the way. And to make that something that's like your problem that you have to deal with on your own. And what I think is so important is to recognize that these patterns exist across cultures, across time, as part of the human experience because of these very social, very public forces that shame and guilt our sex lives, that put all of this meaning upon sex that doesn't really have to be there and kind of clogs up the pipes for so many of us. And it's very freeing to remember that your personal struggles are shared by so many people around the world. And the only way to undo these struggles is to change the narrative, change the stories, change our understanding around these huge issues like desire and arousal and what turns different people on, what feels physically good. If we can alleviate so much of that shame and guilt, we'll all be much more free to be individual sexual beings living in harmony with one another. Like at the Olympics, you have your hurdlers and your shot putters and your wrestlers and your trampolinists. I was so excited to discover trampolining as a sport. It's just fascinating. Like, that person can fly high on their trampoline, I can run over my hurdles, you can throw a heavy ball around, and we can all recognize one another as athletes and as skilled and talented, expressing different parts of human embodiment, and that can all be celebrated together. At the Olympics, there's not this sense of like, well, everyone should be doing shot put, and if you're actually running, like, that's not really a sport, and that's kind of deviant, and, you know, you don't judge other people's sports.
You may have your preferences, but you don't deem one of the others as wrong and bad.
Yeah, and you see some athletes kicking back and watching other athletes perform and being like, that guy's really talented. Not my thing. I'm never going to learn to shoot a musket, or I don't know what they do. Probably not a musket. A rifle long distances, but, you know, I'll stick with my sport, you stick with yours, but we can honor one another's expressions. We can see the beauty and the athleticism that connects us all through these different expressions. So that is part of our mission here at the podcast, is to honor the huge diversity of human sexuality while also finding what we have in common and how we can support one another in being happier sexual beings. And all of the beauty that ripples out onto the world as a whole. And this is why we want to hear from you. Please come over to pleasuremechanics.com/hello, click the button and ask a question, share your story, participate, and we will share those voices back over the coming months and years of this podcast as it continues to grow and evolve. I think I'm getting kind of meta because we haven't recorded in a while and I'm feeling sentimental and excited about this.
I'm so glad. I know. I've missed it. It's interesting to notice. I've really missed podcasting. It's fun to be back.
Hi, guys.
Hi, we love you. I just want to translate your meta Olympics metaphor and just saying that we are speaking about people finding their own turn-ons and going deep into them and trying not to judge them. You know, that there are some people who have foot fetishes and allowing themselves to go into that. Some people are craving something that they're not allowing themselves. And we all, I think that in this culture where we think of sex as like, you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this. And if you don't do that, then that's a problem. And I think we really love this idea of it, of sex being a choose your own adventure game that you get to create and that has different erotic energies that are your own authentic expression as well as meeting your partner's expression, because we all have our very own sexuality. And in a relationship, we have this Venn diagram of where we meet, and then we'll have other things that don't actually fit often with our partner, and that's okay. That isn't a problem. And so how do you go deep into where you guys intersect and what you are particularly interested in? And that's an exploration for a lifetime of what really does turn you on. And that is an that's something to explore and that we don't necessarily know immediately, though we may have some ideas based on this kind of physical turn on if we notice it, but then we can clamp down as we've been talking about in this podcast. So beginning to notice where your turn ons are and beginning to notice when you clamp down. That is the first point of inquiry that we are inviting us all into to see what we discover.
So I'm going to issue a challenge for our beautiful new hello button. So go to pleasuremechanics.com/hello, hit the button and tell us about a desire you have, something that turns you on, that you experience an internal contraction around. So what is something that turns you on, but when you think about it, when you allow yourself to fantasize about it, or even ask someone to help you out with it, you freak out a little bit, you clamp down around. Let's collect some of those desires and share them back with you. So,
and obviously this is totally anonymous except for your voice.
The sound of your voice.
Yeah.
Yep. If you want to be cited, you can leave your name, but yeah,
you don't
anonymous
to.
Way to share your stories with the world. Pleasuremechanics.com/hello. While you're over there, check out our complete archive of podcasts, 200 and some and counting, and all the rest we have to offer at pleasuremechanics.com. We are excited to be back, and we will see you next week with a new episode. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.